Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly NBA podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the world. I'm your host, Wahaj, like always, and with me today and every week, it's Kevin, a.k.a. Lil Kev. What up, Kev?
Hello, world.
And it's Richard, a.k.a. Richie Rich. What's happening?
Universe!
So this is our final episode for the season previews. We've made it. We have worked hard, but we're down to the top three teams last year. And we're previewing the Golden State Warriors first up. Arguably the best team ever.
The Golden Dynasty. Together.
Yeah.
We know what you did this summer, Golden State. We're going to pull that up. And you added DeMarcus Cousins in free agency.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, that shattered my day when that happened.
Jonas Jerebko.
It's not like he averaged 25 points per game or anything last year.
And Damian Lee.
Oh, there you go.
They drafted Jacob Evans with a 28th pick.
Good for him.
They lost JaVale McGee, who signed with the Lakers.
Off to the dream team.
Future Rudy Gobert, JaVale McGee.
Hey, he's looking good in preseason.
Zaza Pachulia with the Pistons. And David West, we got to pour one out for a really awesome career. He was a seasoned veteran. Most of his awesome days were in New Orleans for the most part, but he was a good championship guy who brought a lot of toughness to that team. So he's going to be missed a little bit.
Yeah, he saved his money and knew what he wanted and tried to get it.
Wait, Zaza retired?
No,
David West.
Patrick McCaw, who's still a restricted free agent, I'm pretty sure he's not signing with the Warriors anymore.
No, he's pending for Minnesota. Minnesota.
He's waiting on his dad.
Yeah.
And Nick Young, who is still unsigned. Well, but he's an unrestricted free agent, so I don't think they're going to bring him back.
I'm sure he'll sign to French Montana and the Coke Boys.
Okay.
All right. So the salary situation for the Warriors, or do you guys want to talk about DeMarcus Cousins? Because, obvious.
We did it when it happened, didn't we?
Yeah. Do you have anything to add to this offseason? Like,
I mean, there's been a whole lot of talk surrounding DeMarcus Cousins and the Warriors. I think that drum's been beaten already.
I'll just lay down what I've heard regarding Patrick McCaw, and that he's hasn't signed yet with the Golden State Warriors because at the time of recording this, the Butler trade that's being discussed out of Minnesota hasn't happened yet, and Patrick McCaw is interested in finding a home there for playing time.
He turned down the money, I believe.
It was a two-year, $4 million deal.
Yeah.
Good for him. If he's betting on himself and maybe he's tired of being in a limited role, maybe he can be a solid provider somewhere else.
Yeah, I think he's just tired of being Steph insurance.
Those ankles still need a little bit of insurance.
He's a wing, no? He's a 2-3.
I think he can play the guard spot, right?
Yeah, like that's just usually where when I see him get play time is
it's usually
when
like a three.
Yeah, when they're really strapped though, like in
right,
terms of
right.
Position out.
He usually plays fourth quarters when they're blowing teams out by like 30.
Yeah,
which is gonna happen a lot this year, might I add. So let's look at their salary situation and see how much they're in the red.
Well, the team friendly.
Does
contracts.
It really matter how much how the salary is gonna be when you know you're gonna win the championship anyways?
And you sell out those arenas with all of those...
Sell out? Why are we talking about KD? I'm joking. Golden State fans, I love KD.
That's higher than I thought it would be.
They have the third highest salary in the NBA and probably the highest chances of winning the championship. So does this all really even matter? Let's go into the contracts. Wahaj?
Stephen Curry coming in at 37. Kevin Durant at even 30. Klay Thompson at 18.
Bargain.
The question mark for this offseason.
Draymond Green coming in at 17. Andre Iguodala at 16. Sean Livingston at 8. DeMarcus at 5.3. Jonas Repko at 2.1. Jacob Evans on a rookie deal. Kevon Looney at 1.5. Quinn Cook also at 1.5. Damian Jones at 1.5. And Jordan Bell at 1.3. So, looking at it, nothing really stands out that much apart from like maybe Klay and Draymond, who could garner themselves more money in the upcoming free agency.
You know what stands out? $5.3 million, mid-level, for an absolutely monster of a player in DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, they were only able to swing this deal mainly because of the fact that DeMarcus said he didn't get any offers from anywhere else.
Yeah, allegedly wasn't given anything.
And so it's his way of saying a big screw you to the league to join with the Warriors and take five. He's betting on himself a little bit because he is coming off a major injury for a big man. So are you guys positive about this move in any way, or do you think it's unfair? Like, what is the opinion that you have?
I mean, it's as much of a bet on DeMarcus Cousins for himself as it is the Warriors organization on themselves in terms of rehabbing. Like, they've done their best with JaVale, who is now on the Lakers and has proven himself to be a useful competitive piece. But they also tried this last year with Nick Young, who is not on the team this year because he didn't play himself into shape and was spotty. So it is a steal because no one else tried to do anything with it. So we can't, like, it's like they got outrageously lucky.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a gamble.
Yeah, exactly. Like how you said, it's definitely a steal, but it is also a gamble because now their center rotations is quite low. I think they only have Kevon Looney under books, who's a true center, really. And I mean, they do have Draymond, who plays a small ball five. They have Jordan Bell, who they're practicing to be the mini Draymond. But at the same time, you know, when your center rotation is low like that, some teams could take advantage potentially. You know, centers like Adams. And, you know, just big bruising centers. You don't really have a guy in the post to deal with guys like that for 48 minutes a game. So, I mean, the regular season doesn't even really matter for these guys. As long as Cousins is healthy come April, I think that's all they really care about. So, yeah, it's a gamble, but it's a calculated one.
I don't think they have any issues. They haven't had any issues in the past with the rotation they've had. Nobody is saying that Zaza and JaVale McGee were elite centers in any capacity, but they made it happen. Mainly because, you know, Kevin Durant can almost always slide into the five position now. He is so tall and lanky. Yeah,
he doesn't say he likes to do it, but they do it when they need to.
They always say, and he also likes to say that he's not 7 foot, but yeah, he really is. So, ultimately, does it really matter, even when it comes to the playoffs? Like, these guys, rebounding has never been an issue for this team because they beat you in so many other ways. This team, you know, you can say rich get richer, but at the same time, like, this team is so unbeatable in, like, 98% of pretty much the entire basketball game that 2% doesn't really come back and bite them in the ass so much. Because that's one thing they're missing, is, like, either wing depth or their center spot has been a little weak for the last few years.
It has been. And talking about their center rotation, I mean, they did kind of almost revolutionize the small ball movement, right? So
yeah, now it's like playmaking forward or playmaking center
is always that ideal small ball center.
Yeah,
a lot of teams are striving to have that small ball lineup, and it all started with these guys, I would think. So
the only thing that's standing out to me in terms of these contracts, aside from Jason Thompson at the bottom there for $800,000, just like a fun quirk that he's on this team right now, is Klay Thompson's deal that expires at the end of this season. And I know we don't want to jump too much into speculation, but he's sort of the last of those like friendly contracts that whenever you hear someone talk about what's led to the Golden State championships, they always like to talk about these team-friendly deals that happened because they picked so well in the draft. But now you can see, because they're the third highest in payroll, that era is coming into the end, and now they're sort of like in this sort of let's reward this team for being so good kind of era. And I don't know how you guys feel about where do you think he's going to go, or if it's like even tenable to keep him.
I'm sure the Warriors want to keep him. Klay has said it himself that he doesn't want to leave. But is it going to be financially feasible for this team to keep this big four, potentially big five, together? Because not this season, but the end of next season, Draymond Green comes up. And he's already quoted as saying, I want the Supermax. So Is Draymond Green a Supermax player? Could they keep this team together? Find out in the next episode of Golden State Ball Z.
So, if I look at it, if I look at the situation for this year and next year, what stands out to me is the fact that Joe Lacob, their owner, is willing to spend as much money as possible to keep this team together. They're already in the luxury tax. They're making so much money. They're building a new arena. Their fan base is like global now. So I don't think money is a problem for their owners. So I would think they want to put more money into this team just to keep this run going. Like, build a dynasty. The NBA is all about money now. They're bringing in so much revenue from playoff games, from other places, and betting is going to be a big part of the NBA as well. So the revenue just keeps growing. Why wouldn't they want to put more money into your players who are arguably Hall of Famers? Like, all five of them, probably.
It's interesting you frame it in that way, and I know we can't spend much more time on it, but it's interesting that Joe Lacob is like so willing to put money into this team despite being over the cap that it's almost like,
yeah, they're making so much money.
They're past the point of caring about the cap, so the cap is only hindering, like,
yeah, and you know, I mean, if you're spending all this money and you're not getting championships like Houston and things like that, it's then you start thinking twice. But I mean, when you got the title, you get the ring at the end of the day, does it all really matter? Not really.
Well, what matters to us is the fan question, so we're going to move on to the Reddit section, and we're going to talk about the five questions we've been posing at fans all year round. The number one being, who is the team's MVP?
This will be fun.
And the answers have rolled in.
All right, the number one answer, team's MVP, is me. It's Kevin. Oh, I think they mean Kevin Durant. So, number one answer from Chaosism is Kevin. Just Kevin. Number two, the second highest voted answer is Steph. I think he has a monster year if he stays healthy.
It's always fun to see Steph have those monster years.
Absolutely. I mean, he's so fun to watch. Robot Sore says Steph. He usually is the team's MVP. Chuckle8899
says Curry, despite missing a lot of games, if he stays healthy, he can return to form before when he was the league MVP. That is a little bit, I think, that's a little bit of a variance in the answer, because I don't know if he'll go back to playing like crazy, 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 but that's his opinion. And then the last one is Helicase21 saying Draymond would be the team's MVP. And that I can see in terms of like...
He's the vocal leader of that team, right? He pulls his strings on defense. He tells Clay where to be and when to press up and when to come. Like, he's always the vocal leader of that team, despite not being the biggest star in that lineup. So he very well could be right. Yeah. Draymond could be that team's MVP.
But what about biggest improvement? Who do they say? Or are we going to...
Look, honestly, if you take Draymond off this team isn't the same.
No,
I truly believe
so
that.
So that's why I think he might be the MVP. He's not injured a lot, thankfully for that team, because a lot of people go down, like Kevin went down, then Steph went down.
It's very interesting you frame it like that, yeah.
And you know what, Draymond, like, they haven't really played that much without Draymond, and if they did, I think they would notice the difference. Even though they won 57 games last year, I think, number of wins would have been much lower if Draymond had missed some time, or more time. I don't know how much time.
Yeah, or even if they made, you know, they may have just been able to shoot their way into those games, but they wouldn't have felt the same without Draymond, like in terms of on the defensive end.
Yeah, the team's known for not just being an offensive elite team, but elite defensively as well, and the reason for that is Draymond.
Yeah, like they would definitely have to switch to a Again, it's degrees of a situation. They would have to be more of a shooting you into oblivion team than they currently are.
Yeah, which is interesting because Draymond is not known for shooting. I think that's one part of his game which is lacking.
Yeah.
But like Kevin said, Draymond's important because he can average a double-double without scoring, which is so essential for any team.
He's got the league's first triple-double without points.
That is just a nuts statistic.
Yeah, and he's usually, you know, if we're going for these random things, he's usually almost, like, once a month or something in, like, 5x5
Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Five by five watch. Yeah.
Like, I love that. That's my favorite arbitrary set of numbers. So.
No, I think for him, numbers, like, those numbers really matter. And what he brings to the Warriors, like, he's one of those players that, like, will thrive in any system because he's just so good as a basketball IQ guy. And you need that on your team. Like, even though, like, all the additional stuff that comes with, like, all the baggage, like, all the yelling and all the fighting and all that stuff.
Technical fouls.
Exactly.
It fires the team up.
And some might say it might, you know, go the opposite way if the players weren't so good. Like, if he was put on a bad team, that would have a negative effect.
Yeah, that's my counterpoint to this, because I kind of think in an... I want to hear the rest of your argument, but I actually do think he's the one who is the most, who benefits the most from being in this petri dish of a team.
Yeah, and vice versa. Like, the Warriors benefit the most out of him as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's a two-way street. But also, like, Jimmy Butler, you know, it's the guy that kind of gets on you. But like you're seeing, it doesn't have a positive effect on every locker room. Because, I mean, I think they're from the same mold. Like, they're going to come down hard on you.
Yeah.
And players don't always react to it well because they're like, we're already superstars. Who are you to tell me what to do or how to do it?
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Kevin Durant is so receptive. Steph Curry is so relaxed and receptive. Klay Thompson is so laid back that these guys just take it and absorb it and use it to their advantage.
Exactly.
Which is so good for the Warriors and how they've become a dynasty.
Yeah. Right. There were instances in the finals where, was it Roz Gold or Doris Burke saying, oh, we've heard a lot of yelling from the Warriors locker room. There's been a lot of expletives, you know, being yelled out. But that's just Draymond firing the team up. Right. And that's what he does best.
Great.
All right. So the second question, or the third question. No, we're on the second one still. The most improved for next year for the Warriors would be?
All right. Well, Chaosism says, call me crazy, but I say Jordan Bell. He has the most room for improvement. With our three bigs gone, with three of our bigs gone, he will get a lot more minutes. Okay. This team is a joke. He's got a Clay toaster flare. Says, Jordan Bell. He was solid last year, but I think he's ready to be a contributor on both ends of the floor this year. Sub note, do you guys think Cash Considerations is doing well for Chicago Bulls?
Yes.
Yeah. He got them Jabari Parker. So.
Yeah, apparently, right?
And Zach LaVine.
All right, well, Robot Sore says, it's an interesting one.
Damian Jones?
Yeah, Damian Jones.
Playing a JaVale role off the bench? This is the scenario Robot Sore is painting for us. Playing a JaVale role off the bench, bringing energy. He can do a lot of things that reminds him of JaVale, even though he didn't really play much of a role at all last season. That's interesting. I'm not going to comment on what I think about that, but that's interesting.
It's an interesting take from the team. And usually, this is why we go to the team's fan bases to ask these questions, because they know more about these teams than we do.
For sure.
And this is definitely one of those times where, you know, it's a fan of the team giving us an answer.
Yeah, and so we have two. These are the last two answers we have here. Another vote for Bell being already a valuable, versatile defender, hoping they can see some semblance of an offensive game beyond rim rolls and putbacks. You know, that's the dream for any sort of energy big these days. Is can they put together an offensive repertoire aside from the primary function?
Why would they want that though? That's not his role. Like, I think he should stick to this because you have so many other scorers on this team. Like, you don't need him to do anything else apart from rim roll and do what he does best.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, I don't understand why these fans ask for the rich get richer. Like, you don't need anything more from Jordan Bell.
I think, let's hold on to that while I put.
Sorry, I went in on this guy.
No, it's okay. Yeah, well, let me just pull up the last one. And the last vote is for Damian Jones, mostly because, again, his lack of performance last year. So my question in regards to all of these is, because they seem to be focusing mostly on Jordan Bell, is he their center going forward, in quotation marks?
Because
that's
three, four,
what they
five.
Want to treat him as. And if yes, then do you need your center to be anything more in this sort of league than, like, the Clint Capella mold? Like, especially if your team is as offensively gifted at every other position.
Right. I mean, given the personnel on this team, I think that's all you really need from a center is a rim roller and a rim protector. So,
like, what else can you ask of Jordan Bell? You're not asking to dribble. Like, please don't take any dribbles.
He can switch out onto guys in the perimeter, which, you know, big guys can't do. So,
oh, like, defensively, yeah. Just do everything that your team needs. But exactly. Offensively, you don't need to do much apart from, like, set picks, roll to the
good
rim.
Good picks, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Zaza was setting, like, really good picks.
Really good picks.
Really good picks.
I mean, not Andrew Bogut.
Really good. Like, Kevin Garnett level of picks.
Not Andrew Bogut level picks.
No, so. Not. I mean, that's Aussie strength.
Yeah, that's that.
That's some Steven Adams.
That's the using your knees.
Down under. Okay. That's some down under strength.
Down under, mate.
Budgie Mike.
Yeah, this is all great.
We're getting all the Australian out. That's all we the Australian we have. So,
might.
Let's put it this way. In your death lineup for the Warriors.
Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
We had to bring up the death lineup.
You mean the Hamptons Five?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever nickname is this year.
I'm glad that died out.
Okay. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Jordan Bell, right? Like, if that's your finishing, because Andre Iguodala, his health has been declining for the last couple
of years. Yeah, he's transitioning more to the bench now.
So I'm not sure that he's going to be finishing games a lot, depending on his health. So if you have
Jordan Bell's a part of the death lineup?
Why not? I mean, until DeMarcus comes back.
Draymond's the center on the death lineup.
Oh, why can't, like, Jordan Bell slide into the...
Five All-Stars.
Yeah, but I'm saying those three players are so interchangeable that you can have them play at any spot. You can have KD at center, or you can have Draymond at center, or you can have Jordan Bell at center.
That's not the death lineup, then. That's kind of like the I'm sick lineup, you know? It's like the ill lineup.
Okay, sure, whatever. I mean...
You don't die from that.
I don't know. Like, because we're talking about most improved player, right? So, if Jordan Bell becomes a person who is like, okay, we'll limit his offensive game, but he sets like godly screens and just knows how to set up his players in terms of
with Draymond
like,
Green,
no
Jordan Bell. Okay,
like if they just make him like how OKC was using Roberson to try to fix the fact that he couldn't shoot, right? Like they would just use him as like a distraction or something like that. I don't know. I can see it working out. It won't be like super, super amazing for them in terms of production, but I can see it not being bad.
I think they have so many options that Steve Kerr is going to try everything and see what sticks until DeMarcus comes back. It's just going to be a lot of rotational value for the position because they don't have a lot of wing depth and they also don't have a lot of centers. So that he's going to have to try out what works. And I think Jordan Bell is going to work in that starting lineup. I don't think he comes off the bench until DeMarcus returns.
So let's just assume everyone's healthy on that team. And there's 30 seconds left. They're down one.
Obviously,
what is the lineup you play?
You got to have DeMarcus out there.
Yeah,
you
no, cannot I don't have DeMarcus on there.
Yeah. It's your ultimate lineup.
It's the lineup with Steph, Klay, KD, Draymond, and Cousins.
Yeah, right? No doubt that's the lineup. Yeah.
That's
but like
death
I'm saying death without DeMarcus. Like we're not including DeMarcus in any of this because
that's like
he's injured.
Disease lineup, you know?
Sure, you already said it's the sick lineup.
Yeah.
Sure, ill lineup. Whatever you maybe you want to call it, that's not my point. My point is that they're so good that Jordan Bell's really just going to fit in and
that's
play
true.
His role, you know.
Yeah,
like, he just needs to play his role.
He'll be the utility piece in that offensive set.
Yeah, like you have two Swiss Army knives with Draymond and Jordan Bell.
Right.
I don't know if that's a very high praise for Jordan Bell.
Well, this is like if, again, in the discussion of most improved player, that's where he would fit.
One thing that Draymond doesn't get enough praise for is that is his playmaking. He leads the Warriors in assists.
I mean that
he creates that offensive system. So everybody runs off ball while he has it. He's the one making those passes. So if that's one point of Jordan Bell's game that I think that he needs to improve in. But I mean he's coming into his sophomore year. I'm sure he'll learn, pick apart Draymond's brain.
All right. So
third question is what is the team missing the most? And I think Kevin alluded to that a little bit, is that they don't have a lot of wing depth. They don't have a lot of center spots. So what do the fans think? Do they agree with us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Good point bringing that up because Chaosism says wing defense. With McCaw gone and Nick Young gone, we really need more perimeter defense.
I think they're working from the assumption that McCaw will be leaving.
They're also working from the assumptions that Nick Young played any defense.
He actually, he was okay. He was
I mean, that's why they brought him on because like Luke Walton vouched for him, but it didn't pan out.
He's okay on the perimeter. I mean, people blew by him and all that. They had help defense, but...
He's okay on the perimeter, but people blow by him.
Yeah, he's okay on the perimeter. Yeah.
All right, so what's the next answer?
The thing our team is missing the most is depth beyond the 7-ish stars, it's pretty thin, especially without McCaw.
Must be nice. Yeah. Must be nice. Kemba Walker is sitting alone in his locker room.
7-ish stars.
Must be nice.
What would it feel like to have 7-ish stars?
7-ish. Yeah. Ish. One's a half.
I mean, his name, the person who commented this, his name is This Team Is a Joke.
This team is a goddamn joke.
It's a goddamn joke.
Robot Soar said wing depth. So that's what we've been talking about pretty much the entire time. Chuckle8899 said, the bench scoring is missing. Evans doesn't look ready to contribute much. Too early to tell about Jarepko. I think it's not early to tell about Jarepko. Jarepko is who he is. If Cousins plays with the second unit, that could change. But I expect him to be on the floor with starters mostly, like everybody else. HeliCase21 says wing depth. So I guess that's your common answer, is that they're missing backup wings behind
it's,
Kevin Durant.
It's very interesting, yeah, because for every other team in the league, they just want a wing, like a proficient wing player, and they have, like, if not the most proficient wing player, they just don't have a backup for.
Like, wouldn't you consider Andre Iguodala a solid backup?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what backup? And then Sean Livingston can also slide into that wing role because he's so long. So, I mean, like, are they really missing wing depth?
Pat McCaw is gone. Nick Young.
Jonas Repko.
I think those guys aren't very...
They don't have a lot of guards, per se. Quinn Cook is not really... He's serviceable, but he's not an elite backup.
Right. Okay, so then what is the situation in which they, like, desperately need wing depth?
They don't. Like, they need centers, don't they? Like, we were just talking about that. Jordan Bell is your starting center?
Yeah, I was just thinking, well...
He could be considered a wing, too.
This idea just came to me. Like, is there a situation where you have Draymond... Or where you have DeMarcus on the floor without Draymond Green? I don't think so. I think you kind of need that.
Like, closing out a game, you're never leaving Draymond off. Unless he's fouled out or something.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you would have to play DeMarcus and Draymond together. Like, could you not?
Yeah, in this scenario, so you're asking, can they survive without Draymond on the floor?
No, is there a way to use DeMarcus as bench scoring that doesn't negatively impact them on the defensive end?
It all depends on DeMarcus accepting that role. Like, when he comes back, do you think he would want to come off the bench? Even though he doesn't really have much say, because it's Steve Kerr, and he'd be like, do what I want, otherwise... Like, yeah, we're like fine without
him. Scatters his rings on the table.
Exactly.
Kind of situation.
Yeah. Game of Thrones style.
I know, right?
So basically, DeMarcus has to accept any role that Steve Kerr offers him.
Okay.
Which is not going to be off the bench. I don't think so. Because the bench scoring doesn't really any issue. Because you can just stagger one of those guys. Like, you know, like Carmelo would have been a great fit off the bench with the second unit. I'm sorry, Carmelo. But it's just a great example of a star just hanging back a little bit. Like they used to do with Kyle and DeMar. Like, DeMar used to play with the second unit sometimes. And that worked.
And the Kyle unit is the famous...
Look what happened to the NBA unit. when Iguodala agreed to go to the bench.
Well, yeah, they won the championship.
Changed the entire Look what NBA.
Manu went off the bench, and that changed the entire NBA.
Yeah, it did.
Manu was the blueprint for this, right? Yeah. Wasn't he?
Manu, accepting that role player role,
And that made it easier for other guys to accept the six-man role.
Exactly.
So let's see how much, like, DeMarcus does it, if possible.
Yeah, so it's okay to be a backup center.
Is his ego, his ego is too inflated.
He still thinks he's the best center in the league. And
I mean, he could, good argument could be. For that.
Yeah. Anthony Davis might have something to say about that.
AD's, I still consider him a four, and he considers himself a four, so come back to me when he considers himself a five.
Is it time for me to start saying Joel Embiid? Am I about that life? I don't know.
Well, you can be a homer. Just go for it. We're not gonna hate
you. You think Embiid's better than Cousins?
No, I actually don't think that.
No.
I love him.
Well, we're going to see how DeMarcus is after injury.
Yeah, post-injury, it's kind of a different story.
Okay, question four.
Question number four. The question is, the thing I'm most excited for about this team, Chaosism says, how Cousins plays. We have five fucking All-Stars, and if you're not counting Andre, integrating Cousins will be a fun task, and I'm really excited to watch that.
Okay, the thing this team is a joke is excited for is... Everything. Every game is a joy, and I try to savor the fact I'm watching the greatest team of all time play. All right.
Those are fighting words for Jordan fans.
Okay. Blank. Let's see. Watching the five All-Stars play together. Five All-Stars. This team is definitely going to be crazy fun in all aspects this year, and I'm excited for everything, but it'll be absolutely surreal to see five All-Stars to be on the court at the same time. Yeah, you're telling me. And then what else here? Most excited about the way the team integrates Cousins into the lineup. Yeah, we were just talking about that. I think he's going to blend in immediately on offense, and he won't be as much of a liability on defense as some people, such as myself, predict. I expect the team to embrace Cousins and rally around him. Okay, that's interesting.
We're rallying around DeMarcus?
Yeah, like, does he need to be rallied around? I don't know. And the thing I'm most excited for is the first time we see the Curry, Thompson, Durant, Green, Cousins lineup really clicking.
Yeah, when you said those five names together, that really dawned in. Yeah, can you say that
again? Do you want me to read it out again?
Curry, pinch me now.
Thompson, Durant, Green, Cousins, the same lineup.
Wow.
Not an all-star game. Not an Olympic game.
Wait, is that Gerald Green we're talking about?
No, Draymond Green.
Oh, my God.
I think I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
So, how is that not the best team of all time? Like, wouldn't that be the greatest team of all time?
I mean...
like, that's giving the Celtics, 86 Celtics, a run for the money.
So, Curry could put up 30 a night. Thompson could put up 22, 25.
Yep.
Green could put up everything else.
Zero. Yeah.
Cousins could put up...
Cousins could put up, like, fucking Wilt numbers.
What did he put up last year? 25.5, 14 rebounds, you know?
Just like ghastly numbers.
4 to 5 assists, which is big for a center.
Bunch of them is threes.
A lot of threes. He made averaged 2+ threes a game.
Great passer.
Great passer.
So
working the refs too.
Well, he works Draymond, the refs. Kevin, and Cousins all working the refs.
Oh my God, so Draymond, lead the league in
technicals for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. People getting kicked out right, left, and center. So when you look at this lineup, when you fare this team against, let's just have a small discussion.
Can we just like wake up?
Yeah, sure.
From this dream?
This season's just going to be a dream. So if you look at it, which team is better than this team? Small discussion, let's go.
Okay, let me preface this by saying I come from the NHL rules of this where you don't compare eras, but we're just going to do it. Is this the greatest team? Yeah, pretty much.
So who is in competition with this team?
Let me tell you who.
Showtime?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay.
Because they've never lost.
No. It's true, but they also always face the Generals.
The rest of the league is the Generals.
Yes.
And Golden State is the Globetrotters.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Don't worry about the top.
Don't worry about what happens at the top.
Yeah, yeah? Pretty much.
You can keep trying, but Jennifer, you know.
But honestly... maybe the 93 Bulls?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
No, I can't put like...
three-peat Lakers?
Shaq and Kobe? Lakers?
But then, yeah, but then again, it's like, this is... so you're comparing teams, like, you're comparing teams that had maybe tops two All-Stars.
Yeah, no, you never had five All-Stars. And potentially Hall of Famers. Like, let's just call a spade a spade.
What about the 15-16 Hawks? They had five players of the month.
Oh, they did. Four players in the All-Star game, right?
Four All-Stars, five players of the month.
I guess so. You got me there.
Yeah, it's got to be the 16 Hawks.
You got me there.
They won 60 games.
They did win 60.
More than the Warriors last year.
Okay, that's it. I'm convinced. So how many wins is this year's Warriors
let's
going?
See
great
fans,
segue. Great segue.
Try my best.
Great there segue. What do the fans have to say about this? Chaosism. We're going to be lazy and bored in the season again. No more wins in 55.
That's honest.
Yeah, all right.
That's honest. Right. I respect that.
There was a comment to that said, LOL, we won 58 with All-Stars missing chunks of the season. No way we win less than 62.
No.
All right. Well, this team is a joke says 66.
Yeah, makes sense.
Robot Source says, assuming Steph's going to play around 74 games a season, 90% of the games, I'll say 64 wins.
Oh, look at this dude factoring in rest. I respect that.
Yeah, right.
Not rest, injury.
No, Steph does rest. He rests throughout the whole season in the fourth quarter.
Oh, okay.
Chuckle 8899 says,
"Got a chuckle out of me."
Yeah, I was like, "Wait, are you serious?" Oh,
got to say
it. He only plays 75% of games, anyways. Kerr will manage the schedule. I'll go with 67 wins for the regular season.
Ooh.
And to close it out, Helicase says 60. I predict a lot of rest and coasting.
Yeah, like Kevin said.
And
62
said.
And a half. Over, under. What you got?
Under.
Under 62 and a half?
61.
Over. I'm going to go 64.
All right. I'm going to go 82 and 0.
Nah.
Okay. Let's not meme. I think they're going to win about 65 games.
Yeah, really? So you're going over.
Why, yeah,
you're
no,
going
why,
over 64.
Why you
nice.
Guys? Why may I ask why you're going over? This is just
we just talked about. They're the best team of all time.
Even though everyone
going
else
65
at the bottom,
is under my predictions. Though, like there are the real predictions. I'm just saying 65 for the
really
record.
Okay.
I really think they could if they like tried. You know, it comes down to the effort.
Okay, are you factoring in DeMarcus in this?
I'm factoring in, oh yeah.
He's injured until January.
That's fine.
Or I heard Christmas. He comes back Christmas.
He was never
Christmas game would be amazing if he comes back.
He was never there to begin with. So, I mean, what does it even really matter?
That is a fact. He was never there before this season. But the reason why I gave him 64, like you asked me, was because do you see them losing 18 games? Like, that's a lot of games to lose for this
okay,
team.
So
how many times
do
they face the Raptors?
They lose two,
if they're fully healthy.
Okay, so they lose two every year to the Lakers. They lose once to Utah. They lose once to Minnesota every year.
One to the Pelicans. Like Anthony
yeah,
Harris
they
has
lose
a crazy
once
game.
To the they lose once to the Pelicans.
They're not losing to anybody in the East. The interconference matchup.
Oh, wow, really?
Celtics and the Raptors play the Golden
they play them
Warriors
close,
really
but,
well.
But yeah.
I think the Celtics did beat them last year.
Yeah,
they did.
The Raptors came close too. I don't know.
Okay.
18 games is a lot for this team to lose.
Exactly. That's why I'm going somewhere close to 70 in my head. But on the record, I'm saying
no,
65.
I respect those answers because that makes sense. Okay.
The reason why I said 64 and 18 was because if DeMarcus is lined up to come back by Christmas, he's not missing that many games. So I think for the first 2 months, they're going to lose a little bit. Like a game here and there where they're going to have off nights. But when DeMarcus comes back, he's fully incorporated into the system. Losing is going to be hard for this team. It just like a lot of teams are just not going to beat you. Like I just don't see a team ever built like this before.
All right. So yeah. Let's wrap up this Golden State segment.
It was fun talking about them, but yeah, we did gotta.
There's a lot to talk about because this team is probably the best ever put together.
So
we're moving on to the Toronto Raptors,
the greatest team in the Eastern Conference.
Me and Richard's gonna sit back and let Kevin do his whole thing by himself. All right,
let me crack my knuckles.
I mean, I'll throw some love to DeLon Wright like every now and then, but
hey, his name is DeLontino.
So, what did the Raptors do this summer? Do we know?
Tell me, Kevin.
Yeah, come on. Update us with that. Waiting for this.
Do I even need to bring up this?
They lost LeBron from the conference.
That's our true.
Biggest addition by subtraction, right?
Mike, give us an applause.
Yeah. what's his name?
Masai
Ujiri. Shia LaBeouf clapping.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf clapping. In
the movie theater.
Yes.
All right, well, the Raptors did make some interesting moves this offseason, and I think they had probably one of the heaviest offseasons in the NBA, at least one of the most heavily talked about offseasons.
Lakers did it better.
Lakers did it better?
Lakers wore it better. Sorry, go ahead.
Triggering me from the beginning. Well, let me tell you, Masai Ujiri has plans, okay? He effectively replaced DeMar DeRozan with Kawhi Leonard. A couple other players in that deal. Let's let Wahaj do this recap of we know what you did this summer.
Danny Green came over from the Spurs.
Bringing his podcast with him.
Green Room, shout out. Kawhi Leonard traded from the Spurs as well. Greg Monroe signed in the free agency. And Eric Moreland, also a free agency dude coming on. They didn't have any draft picks.
They traded it.
They lost one of the most celebrated Raptors probably ever, DeMar DeRozan. Alphonso McKinney was waived, and Jakob Poeltl was traded to the Spurs.
One half of the Jakob and Skills tandem.
They also I think Lucas Nogueira is not signing back with the Raptors.
No, he signed in in another country.
All right.
Okay, good for him.
Overseas. Lorenzo Brown, I guess not coming back. And Malcolm Miller,
who's Lorenzo Brown, so he's back.
He's back?
Yeah. All right.
So Malcolm Miller is a restricted free agent, but I don't know if he's back or not.
No, we did not bring back Malcolm Miller. No, and
he picked up another class at York.
At York University? Yeah. Is that because York's not on strike anymore?
Yeah, sorry.
That's a local college joke.
Yeah, it's a Raptors Republic joke.
All right, so anything that stands out besides Kawhi Leonard, because we've already talked about that in extensive detail.
But this is a Raptors preview.
So we can talk about it some more. Let's talk about it more, because Kevin wants to, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you replaced a guy who's been ranked 38th. He's been ranked, you know, under the 20s, the low 30s, for the last 3-4 years of his prime. He's had guys, you know, it's just a top 100 ranking, but he's had guys like Jay Crowder ranked above him. He's had guys like Chris Middleton, whom DeMar DeRozan dropped 52 points on last year, ranked ahead of him. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those guys. And they replaced him with a top five player in the NBA, in Kawhi Leonard.
And what was Kawhi's MVP place in voting?
He was second when in his healthy season. Second in MVP ranking.
The year when he won the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep, and the year before that he was third. So, it's effectively, you know, when healthy, could be the second, third best player in the NBA.
That's pretty exciting.
If you're a Raptors fan, how would you feel?
I feel pretty good about it. I don't
know. If I was a Raptors fan, that's the big question. I don't know. I like this move overall. Like, in all honesty,
I'm not standing
from the sidelines here, just looking in. Something had to be done about this team. More importantly, this team wasn't really going anywhere. I mean, no offense. I'm going to be saying a lot of things you might not like.
No, it's fine.
But I'm gonna give you the truth. Totally so fine. Honestly, the playoffs weren't really helping the cause for DeRozan and Lowry.
For the past 2 years, to be honest.
So the chances were given to this core, and they didn't produce in the playoffs like they were supposed to. The regular season wins were piling up, but it just wasn't translating well enough into April and May. So something had to be done, and Messiah, I will give them an A- because of the bold move he made. Let's see if they retain him. Even if not, I think you can start rebuild after this season if things don't go well this year, which I don't think they will go badly in any capacity. Because...
No, I think literally as much as last season I talked a lot about the window and how narrow it was with just the way, you know, LeBron moves and the world moves around with him, just like the East just opened wide up for them to take.
Yeah, and a lot of teams are up and coming, so I think the Raptors need to strike when the iron's hot, and the iron's really hot right now. Like, the Philly is going to be really good and really scary. And Boston has a good young core, so...
Like Masai Ujiri said, any chance you have to get to acquire a player like that, of that high caliber, a fun guy like Kawhi Leonard, you take that chance.
Mainly because Raptors, again, no offense, don't really attract that many free agents. So you have to get guys in any other manner possible, really. So that's what they did, and they got a good wing in Danny Green, who's going to be an underrated pickup, even though he looks a little dribble happy in the preseason,
which
he should not be dribbling. He should be shooting and defending like his skill sets have suggested in the past. So I think Danny Green is another good. The rich get richer. The Raptors have so many good pieces off the bench, supporting role players that are just going to help this team, you know, get those wins in mid-March and February when you need them, right? Yeah. So, anything else stands out to you, Kevin, for this Raptors offseason?
No, I think we pretty much touched on everything there.
I think one point that I forgot to mention was they're going to miss Jakob Poeltl. I was really high on this guy.
So absolutely. Was I.
Yes, he was probably, I would, and I know this is not a popular opinion, but I think he could be better than Jonas Valanciunas in the long run.
I can see that. I can see that happening.
How old do you think Jonas Valanciunas is?
He's young. That's not my point. My point is that Jakob Poeltl in the long run would be a better player than Jonas, because Jonas' ceiling, he has hit his ceiling. I don't think he's going to get any better than what he is now. He's slow moving. He can shoot the three now. I know you're going to defend him, But my point is, I've never been a Jonas guy, and I still don't think he finishes out like four quarters for me. Like,
shout outs to the JV Hive. But let me let me just defend our boy real quick. Now, JV is absolutely has been unleashed now with the new Nick Nurse offense. He's kind of already throwing some shots.
I thought
shots.
Nick Nurse was already running the offense.
He ran it.
He didn't make the decisions.
He resigned. So it was his offense.
He didn't make the decisions. He made the suggestions.
Oh, so Casey was holding back Jonas Valanciunas.
He's there's a lot of people have said there's a little grudge Casey has against against Jonas. Okay. Nobody knows why.
But. Okay, well.
All right. Anyway, so salary situation for the Raptors.
Yeah, because
let's see how much Jonas Valanciunas is actually making.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Toronto Raptors are not owned by a single owner. They're owned by an ownership group who has fairly deep pockets, which puts Toronto...
Fairly deep is putting it lightly.
Yeah, so sorry, do you mind? Just let me scroll up there. So Toronto is ranking fourth in payroll, just under the Golden State Warriors, who we discussed previously. So I'm just going to run down the 2018-2019 cap holds for us very quickly here. So we have our, in your upper tier, we have Kyle Lowry making $31 million a year. Kawhi Leonard, the Toronto Raptor, at $23 million. Serge Ibaka at $21 million. So these were the sort of big, please pay me contracts. Kawhi Leonard was inherited from the Spurs. Jonas Valanciunas, from his extension, we're sort of ending the last 2 years of this. He's making $16 million a year. And is that a player option or is that a team option?
It's a player option.
Yeah, so with a player option next year. Danny Green at a cool $10 million. Norman Powell living through this extension that we're still seeing the results of at $9 million. Fred Van Vliet, recently inked, at $8 million. CJ Miles at $8 million. Delon Wright at $2.5 million. Greg Monroe at $2.1 million. And then OG Anunoby continuing on his rookie contract. And then now you see the sort of bottom end contracts that sort of have made Toronto Raptors sort of revolutionary in the two ways, I believe, or are these not?
I think Lorenzo might be a two way.
Yeah, is the one point Lorenzo Brown at 1.6. Oh, right, and the other two are rookie deals for Malachi Richardson at 1.5 and Pascal Siakam with the same.
Yeah, the Pascal thing stands out a lot because
he might be their best.
Yeah, the best value for the money, really. Also, I really like the Delon Wright contract as well. I mean, it's a team option for next year, so you pretty much have him locked in for two more years.
Yeah, rookie deals are always great value. And I mean, when you draft well and you get guys that are going to grow and you have a good development team, like the Raptors do, these deals do tend to stand out.
Well, it's always funny for me. I said I would throw Delon Wright some love, and I'm going to now, is they never thought they would end up with Delon Wright. Like their intention was to get Corey Joseph in free agency, and they sort of lucked into drafting him, and they're kind of very lucky now, because having moved on from Corey Joseph, they're sort of replacement, they're still in contention for who's replacing Kyle Lowry, right? They have Fred VanVleet, who they had to reward for his good play, and Delon Wright, who is still like doing well for them, but also is still on a very frugal deal, so they're very lucky with those two guards, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, Delon Wright, he brings a lot of versatility to that team. He could play the one with his playmaking abilities. He is a point guard, but he's very tall and long at 6'4", with a with a +4 wingspan. So he's a crucial part to that bench mob unit that the Raptors utilized last year, who it was terrorizing the league. I think it. As a five-man lineup, the Raptors bench was third in the league with a minimum of 150 minutes played in net rating. Ooh. So we're talking about a bench lineup here. Yeah. So the Raptors bench is an absolutely pivotal piece of this team that goes 10 to 12 deep. And like you said, Delon is a big part of that.
Norman Powell's contract kind of stands out a little bit. Like, do you think they unload that deal in any way, or
I've been watching a lot of preseason games, and I know you cannot take anything from preseason, but Norm looks to be a much revamped player. I mean, prior to last year, where he didn't show out, Norm was the X factor between making it out of that Pacers series.
Well, there was a lot of people inquiring after that sort of Pacers performance around the league. Like, where did you find him? What can we get?
Don't ask Masai about his sources.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, Norman Powell was not utilized correctly last year. He was used as a three because the Raptors were lacking in small forwards.
They usually are.
Yeah, they've usually always lacked small forward depth. But Casey utilized him as a three, not utilizing him to his strengths, which is slashing, cutting towards the basket. And, you know, just his defensive versatility is going to be key for the Raptors in this year, as they are kind of lacking in shooting guard depth this year. And he plays much better at the two. He's spent a large portion of this summer working out with the bench mob, so he's kind of got more of a groove with that unit. Last year, if you remember, he was in the starting lineup as the three. And he was quickly replaced by OG. And so he didn't gel with the starting lineup. He didn't gel with the bench unit. So it was just very hard for him to get into rhythm. I think this year it's going to be his redemption year.
Yeah, I guess you can put him as, like, you know, the most improved player in our later segment. That could be a candidate.
This is true.
But what I'm looking at the salary aspect of the Toronto Raptors 2018-2019 season, I don't see a lot of bad contracts, but I think Norman Powell still stands out to me as not a great deal for the Raptors.
Yeah, it's just the most, it's probably the priciest in terms of production that you get.
Or maybe Jonas at 16 is a tad higher for my liking.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for Norman to get minutes, right? I mean, he's got to get that from either Danny Green or DeLon Wright. Potentially, you know, where's he going to really get minutes from?
Well, see, I think that's why Nurse is going to run through every single body to see, like, who performs best in what situation, really.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of combo guards that can slide into that two spot. I don't know what position Kawhi plays for you, the two or the three. That would be tricky. But
I think,
you
know, Norm, yeah, he's good.
You also have CJ, who's in better shape and shooting better, so.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also been in the starting lineup in the preseason. You take it with a grain of salt, but ultimately, they're thin in the front court, in my opinion. So you have to play Jonas, like, heavy minutes.
You think so? Yeah, actually, now I believe, from, again, what we've seen from preseason, is that they're not going to utilize the pairing of Serge and JV.
It was a pairing that didn't really work.
Right. Dwayne Casey, as stubborn as he is, liked to keep that pairing together. They played well. I mean, they were a top five defense last year and a top three offense with those two together. But Nick Nurse is going to try a thing, I guess, it seems like, where they're going to exclusively play one of them at a time and surround them with wings. And
so what, like, Serge is playing five for you now?
Serge is now the five. He's, at least in the first preseason game, he was the starting five. You know what I mean? So
okay.
He's going to be more of a center. I like Serge at the center. I think that's where his game transitioned to over this time.
All right, so let's see. Can we transition into the fan base questions and address some of the roster issues? If you guys are done with the money, like...
No, it's fine.
So first question is obviously who is the team's MVP, and this is without a doubt should be Kawhi if he's healthy, right? Like, the fans cannot go any other way. Or is Kyle in the conversation?
Yeah,
Kyle. See, that's the thing.
It should still be Kyle.
Kyle is the team's vocal leader. I'm not sure how much
Kawhi
is going
to
be talking.
Really respond to texts.
I mean, he'll respond if it's not Popovich talking.
Nah. He wanted to go to the Spurs. Let me just add that. He's probably jealous of DeMar that he ends up in San Antonio.
Yeah, maybe he's jealous. Maybe he's wishing he was the one that got benched in the fourth.
He wishes he was the one that got away.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're gonna tackle the fan-readed questions. Thank you for responding as always. We appreciate the local fans. The team. Who do you expect the team's MVP? Neil Bauman says Kawhi. And I think I would have to agree with him. RSRSRS says Kawhi as well. A big discussion happening on the Toronto Reddit. Somebody else also mentioned Kawhi. Siapao 888. So
Shopao.
Shopao. Is it Shopao?
Yeah, it's a Tagalog word.
Oh, I'm sorry. my pronunciation in Tagalog is not great, obviously. So, team MVP for Kawhi. All the answers are pointing towards
him. He could very well be the league's MVP.
What?
So,
that is not a hot take. I would agree with that. So, any chance Kyle makes his way into the conversation?
Apparently not. But I
no, for you guys, the fans think it's
so
obviously
most Kawhi. Valuable player. If you take that in a vacuum in itself, it's yeah, Kawhi on the floor is probably going to be the most valuable player. Whereas Kyle, he's going to do the little things for your team. You know, lead them vocally, put in the hustle, and things like that that Kyle specializes in. So from a Raptors fan perspective, I think you know. Kyle is the team's, he's the engine that keeps the team going, but we haven't seen enough of Kawhi to really change or sway our minds.
At the same time, I know I was the one originally advocating for Kyle, but then upon thinking about it, if it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard being on this team, are we considering a team without DeMar against the Celtics a team? Like, do you know what I mean?
That's like the Hornets.
Yeah,
like I kind of agree with that point. Like, to be honest, is it really important for you to have stars on your team when you have two really good players and a bunch of guys that know how to play together who've been a part of the system? Because Nick Nurse is not a new body to your coaching staff. You've been running his plays for, I don't even know how long he's been with the team. So the guy's been
5 years.
Exactly. So the guys are like kind of incorporated in the system already. You just have to bring Kawhi on board. And a guy who's that talented is not gonna have a hard time figuring this out.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a very high IQ basketball player.
Exactly. So I mean, Raptors don't have to worry about anything when it comes to Kawhi adjusting to your system. It should be easy. And apparently Nick Nurse and him have had really good talks.
Yeah, apparently they had a good
They have a good rapport whatever. So, right. So what is this team missing the most? Is that the second question, or are we doing
what
the
do
most
you expect
improved player
to be this team's biggest improvement from last season?
That one's gonna be a little tricky because you have so many good pieces.
Oh, I like this answer. Okay, so Neo Bowman says Norman Powell, just because his last season was so disappointing, nowhere to go but up. Other candidates include CJ. Apparently he's in better shape than last year, which is true. Jack Armstrong did say on the broadcast that he's slimmed down to 8% body fat, which is he does look noticeably leaner.
I mean, once you settle into raising your child, like, he had a very turbulent transition.
Oh yeah,
not as an excuse,
it's tough,
but as a
right?
like a fact of reality.
Yeah, it's something that you know people could relate to. Having a child not only changes you, but it affects your mental and physical as well, right?
Yeah,
it flips it upside down. You're right. OG, sophomore improvement, and Siakam. He made a huge jump last year, and he has so much potential. Yeah, that's an interesting take there. Shopao 888 says, Jonas Valanciunas, Casey caged this beast, and now he's going to be unleashed.
Oh, I wonder if Shopao 8888 is part of the JV Hive. I really wonder.
Do you wonder? Do you wonder or do you know? Shopao, shout outs to you, man.
Yeah.
For being part of the JV
Hive. I think, again, I may have mentioned this elsewhere in the podcast before, but Siakam, they kind of really want to turn him into something very versatile and very like dynamic for that team. So to see him grow even more into that and become more proficient in terms of getting on the fast break, handling the ball on the break or playmaking on the break would be fantastic to watch. But
yeah, I think Siakam stands out with his ceiling. That guy can do so much. If he can shoot a little bit better, He's going to be spending a lot of time on the floor. He's a good five. He's a good four. He's interchangeable. He switches well. He can guard on the perimeter. I can go on and on about Siakam. Powell, even though he's trimmed down to 8%.
That's CJ.
Is that CJ now? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, CJ's always been really good at what he does, is shoot, coming off screens. And the guy can pull up from 23, 24 feet.
35, 40.
He doesn't have, like...
55.
Sure. Steph range.
Steph range.
But ultimately, I think Siakam is my candidate for this award, per se. Yeah. Because that guy is just brimming with potential, you know?
Oh, so much. He just learned basketball at the tender age of 16, 17. Yeah.
Tender age. Ooh, I like the way you put this.
You know what I mean? 6-7 years
Jesus
of basketball.
Jesus Christ, tender age.
His basketball growth is exponential. You know what I mean? Like, he just learned to play that.
I need a minute with this tender age stuff.
I will. Here, I'll cover for you.
Like a Costco steak.
I will cover for you.
Machine tenderized.
I'll cover for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In regards to CJ, I think for CJ, that's good because every time... You know, his comparison is Wayne Ellington and Miami Heat. They have their, like, very rigorous training system, and it's very famous. But it's also, like, if you every time you play this dude, and the dude who is exactly, like, the mirror of you is cooking you, then why are we paying you and not him? Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, so you gotta get in better shape. Like, yeah. Is that the answer to the
question? Why not?
Because, like, you need to be more agile and move better.
Yeah, and, your machine just needs to run better. Like,
well, especially Miami's machine is running better than the league.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
You know, I guess it's all about talent.
What does that translate
and working
to?
Out, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not just about just working out. Otherwise, Miami would be a champion now.
Yeah,
but they're not. Maybe after Jimmy Butler, I don't know.
Yeah,
but you know, let's focus on the Raptors. So what? Leading up to, what is the team missing the most then? Because they have so much when it comes to bench depth and star power. So what is one area they're missing?
I'm not sure if I agree with Neil Bowman on this one, but he says a third star. We have oodles of depth, but not quite the star talent to match Boston or Golden State. I'm super high on Kawhi, but other than him and Kyle, we have really good but not incredible players. And to that, there was a long discussion going on. RSRSRSRS, real shit, says, totally disagree, Boston. No team will ever compare to Golden State for star talent. It's never been seen before. Boston doesn't have a single top 10 player. On any other given...
Wow.
Is this low-key my burner?
Yeah. have you been arguing in your sleep?
let's not get into this. On any given night, Kawhi could be a 2A or 2B to Durant. And 2 years ago, was playing at LeBron level in the playoffs. This is very true. They are the ones without a roster full of very good but not incredible players. When was the last time a team won without a top 10 player? Detroit, right? There was even an argument to be made that Ben could have been considered top 10 at the time. That team was such an anomaly and played one aspect of the game at an extremely high level that unless something like that happens again, I don't see how a team without a top 10 player will ever win. History says a team like the Raps will have a far higher likelihood of getting to the finals. Interesting take. What do you think about that, Wahad? You're shaking your head as a Celtics fan.
I'm going to pass on this one. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of whatever.
Let's do it. I want to have a Celtics debate.
No, it's not even about the Celtics.
It's not about the Celtics. It's about the Raptors.
It's about whether or not this team has merit. Like, whether or not the concept of this team needing a third star has merit.
It does. I think it does.
Okay.
Like, if the Raptors had a chance of going out and getting somebody like Jimmy Butler, I don't see why they wouldn't do that or why they shouldn't do that.
I would say, this is just me, I would say I wouldn't want Jimmy Butler.
I don't want
the Raptors. No, I mean, his locker room antics are
a different
story.
Not about the locker room antics.
Player-wise.
No, I wouldn't want Jimmy Butler in general because you're rolling the dice a second time. You know what I mean? You're going to give up even more young prospects.
Oh, yeah, like you're hitting at 18 or something like that.
Right, right. Like, I mean, if you were to acquire Jimmy Butler, that means you're going to have to give up DeLon Wright, another pick. Okay, Serge. Yeah. Okay,
pick doesn't matter.
We're
going to
miss Mafuzi Man again. Yeah, it will, because we don't have next year's pick. It'll have to be, we're not allowed to trade the year after that. It'll have to be the 2 years from now's pick. And if we acquire Jimmy Butler and we have Kawhi, let's say they both leave. In 2 years from now, what is that pick going to be worth?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you're going to roll the dice, you might as well get, like, Raptors right now are at, like, 80%. They didn't go all out. They didn't go 100% on this.
True Raptors fans don't want Jimmy Butler on the team.
True Raptors fans are, I think, it becomes more about, like, comparing it to Boston, and I don't like going down that. Like, I don't like the team comparisons here. If we're just talking about the Raptors, they need, this team is built for a championship, kind of. But I'm not still fully convinced, because you're not going to beat Golden State with just this roster. It's not going to happen. Let's forget about Boston. Let's go all the way. Let's go to Golden State. Can you beat Golden State with this team? You can't. You just can't, because...
How do you know?
It's just not going to happen, man. Like, are you convincing yourself that this team can beat the Golden State Warriors like we just talked about? If you think that, then you're like a really, really, really big fan, and I commend that. But
no, it's tough. It's very going to be very hard, and you're going to have to beat them 4 times out of 7.
Nobody has ever done that.
And then you have to do it in terms of like
anything could happen, right?
How would you do it? You have to. It's almost entirely on the bench, but they would never play the bench, right? Like, because it's the playoffs, they would play.
Leonard has been known to be. A pest against
So Kawhi Leonard guarding Clay
Kevin
the
Durant.
Whole time?
It's Kevin Durant.
Guarding Kevin Durant the whole time? So then how do you solve Clay?
Danny Green.
Okay, then so... and then so
they're basically the same player.
Okay. okay, so then how do you stop Draymond or DeMarcus? In that case,
OG.
You can't stop DeMarcus.
Okay, DeMarcus. Let me tell you right now. JV has always beasted against DeMarcus Cousins. If we pull up the numbers, if we watch all the games, okay. I've watched every game for the past I don't know how many years, but JV has always had the edge against DeMarcus Cousins. He's always beaten Anthony Davis. JV is a very low key. Player that is good against certain matchups like these guys like Cousins, you know what I mean?
As someone who watches Raptors games, I understand this sentiment, but then my follow-up question is then this. So if you have all of these answers,
well, Hodge has his hands in his head right now because he really hates JV.
No, it's okay. If you have all of these solutions to the stars, then what internally in the development of the Toronto Raptors do you need to beat the Golden State Warriors? Do you know what I mean?
Losing Casey. I think potentially, we don't know anything about Nick Nurse yet, but...
Yeah, we do.
We
The guy's been with the organization for 5 years. He was the guy making the offensive plays. He was the one who revamped...
He just did that last year.
Yeah, but like he's been running the offense. Like I don't
Only
understand...
last year.
All right. Well, this is not a discussion that I wanted to go down with, so I'm going to let this one slide. If the Raptors fans, like, they are really hardcore about how the league is not putting them on notice, which I think the league is putting you on notice. Like, Kawhi is a legitimate top five player on both ends of the floor. End of discussion. You guys are good, just maybe not championship material. I legitimately believe that. Like, I think this team can make a deep playoff run, even go to the finals, but they're just not getting over the monster. Nobody is.
How about in the East?
Ah, sure. I mean, East is 1A, 1B with the Raptors and Celtics.
But okay, so
but
then,
who's 1B?
It's interchangeable.
But in this question, the reason why I was asking, like, what internally do you need to beat the Golden State Warriors? Because then that's the answer of if it's not a star, because in this scenario you don't think we need another star. So then what is it? Because if you think it's Nick Nurse, then we already have it, so what are
right
they missing?
Right system, right defensive schemes, right things to play out. You know, some of those guys have to have a bad night. And hopefully, you know, they can 4 out of 7 games.
Okay.
So, should we move on to the third question?
Yes, just fine.
What is this team
Fourth
missing
question.
The most? Well, did we talk about missing the most?
Yeah, we just did.
Yeah. Third star.
Okay.
The top question, top answer was. The second best, second highest voted answer was coaching experience, maybe.
Okay.
Interesting.
So
fourth
then,
question. Thing I'm most excited for about this team.
Is Kawhi. More broadly, they would be excited to see a switch everything defense implemented, especially in crunch time. Okay. I think it's probably our best shot at defending a Golden State or Boston, so practicing it throughout the season will be important. Okay.
It's true. I think this team has the potential to have the best defense in the entire NBA. And when you have a wing rotation of Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, and OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, you can throw him in there too. That's a tantalizing trio to go against.
Yeah, and the next answer was team chemistry, which is always fun to watch on any team. But specifically the defensive lineup of Lowry or DeLon, Danny Green, OG Anunoby, Kawhi Leonard, and Pascal Siakam. Yeah,
imagine switching from Danny Green to OG, and then switching from that, and you have to face Kawhi. You know what I mean? I mean, this defense is...
It's not bad.
It's a really good defense.
Okay. All right. I don't see anything wrong with that. And so now we're at the real question. Well, not the real question, because apparently for this team, they have championship aspirations, which is real. What are the predicted regular season wins that we're going for? And what do we have here?
Top answer, 57. For a 10th percentile worst case, I'd give 50 wins. For a 90th percentile best case, 66 wins. Our depth really shields us from a lot of the downside risk, and Kawhi in form is going to be nuts. Okay. Second highest answer, predicted number of regular season wins, 60. Exclamation mark.
Okay.
You're over or under on 59.5.
I'm going to stick with my Filipino brother or sister on this and say 60, because it's an important, I don't know. I was kind of sad they didn't hit it last year.
No. Yeah, let's give them 60. They won 59 with DeMar and Kyle. Yeah. Kawhi counts for a little bit more. And the fact that they've had more chance to gel in the system. Players know each other a lot more. Players have come back stronger, healthier, according to body fat percentages. It's going to be a toss-up because the Eastern Conference is going to be just, you know, the Raptors are going to be beating on these lower tier, like the Hawks and,
yeah,
you know, maybe even the, like, even if you put Raptors like the against Celtics, the Pacers, right? Even like, the Pacers have no chance against the
like
Raptors.
Like those lower tier teams like the Celtics?
Yeah, yeah, I'm just, this is a lob up for Kevin to dunk.
Yeah, they really just have to start, like, can they steal wins from Western teams? You know what I mean? Like,
sure, they can beat Denver on a good night. Maybe not in Denver because they're going to run you out of the gym.
Yeah, because no one wins in Denver.
But overall, I think the Raptors have the players to deal with every system thrown at them.
Okay.
Whether it's
personnel, right?
Grit and grind, whether it's pace and space, whether it's a balanced system, whatever you throw at them, they have the players to kind of soak it all up and be like, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to adapt to your game plan. I think they do that very well.
All right.
Plus, their death lineup is going to be pretty great,
yeah,
according to Kevin. You know, Celtics and Philly are going to give them a little bit of a harder time, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
But apart from that, I don't see any team really having a chance against them.
Yeah,
Giannis could be a terror because he's added a jump shot. But,
yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so realistic expectations for them, 60 wins.
For sure.
No doubt.
I'm going to have to go under on the 59.5.
Really?
And I'll give you my reason why. It's just because I think the first third of the season is going to be a lot of experimenting, a lot of trying to figure out the right lineups, what works, what doesn't, gelling together as a team, you know, building that chemistry. So I think with that first third of the season, they win or lose, you know, Raptors fans, don't be mad. It's they're just figuring it out. So I think given that first third of the season, I think they're going to win.
Okay.
Like 55 games.
All right, well, you heard
it. I'd
be
ready for the playoffs.
You heard it here first. Kevin went under on 59. Wow, never thought it would happen. All right, so on
what
that...
What is this, a Celtic spot?
No, I didn't say 40.
Oh. Lob and the jam.
He just got a dap from Kevin. All right, so...
It's my guy Richie Rich right there. Shout outs.
Let's move on to the other championship or bust team.
Houston Rockets. So, yeah.
The Washington Wizards?
That was
the Rockets.
They already lost Dwight Howard. You can't go too hard on.
Yeah, zero.
You mean the team led by Michael Carter Williams, the Houston Rockets?
I mean, no, the team led by 0 years away Bruno Caboclo.
Oh no, Bruno's—he's here.
All right, we know what you did this summer.
Tell me.
You're really excited about these.
I don't know. I'm not.
Wow. That tempered real quick. You know, they had an interesting offseason. I think they added Michael Carter-Williams, like Kevin suggested. And they also brought on Carmelo Anthony, famously from the Hawks.
The Hawks legend.
Yeah, Bruno Caboclo, signed with free agents. Marquise Chris brought over from the Suns. They got rid of Ryan Anderson. That was Ryan Anderson's contract.
Oh, yes, yes, this totally happened. I totally remember
that. What did you have on Ryan McDonough? Daryl Morey.
Brandon Knight was also a point guard assurance coming from the Suns.
God, yes.
They drafted Vincent Edwards with the 52nd pick. It really doesn't matter much in the long run. Trevor Ariza signed with the Suns. RJ Hunter signed with the Hawks. De'Anthony Melton traded to the Suns in the Ryan Anderson deal. Lukumba Mute signed with the Clippers. And Chinanu Onaku traded to the Mavericks.
Oh, underhanded three throws.
So basically, when you're looking at it, Clint Capella re-signed and Gerald Green re-signed. So ultimately, are you a fan of this offseason? Do you hate it? Do you love it? Which way are you going?
I hate it less than I thought I would. I remember we talked midway through the season, and I was like, "What are they doing? They're losing all of their depth. They're giving all of this money to Chris Paul. They're like shortchanging their future." And that sort of, they got rid of they moved Ryan Anderson, and it kind of doesn't seem that bad now. Or am I just, like, missing something? Yeah,
that Ryan Anderson move really...
So you think Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight is a good exchange for Ryan Anderson?
No, I just think clearing that salary room.
Okay, so that was the point. Not bringing on those pieces.
Because Ryan Anderson wasn't even getting that much floor time, or, like, meaningful floor time.
No.
I mean, when they lost when they lost Lukumba Mute and Trevor Ariza, and they signed on Michael Carter, I was like, what's going on, Daryl Morey? But, you know, you always kind of stick with Daryl Morey because he pulls out these moves out of nowhere. Getting rid of Ryan Anderson brought up that grade a little bit because I was ready to give them a D. Yeah. But now they're up to, like, a B minus because let's see what Marquise Chris, he's a good defender, a good wing, and you already have Gerald Green and P.J. Tucker, so... Bringing a young body in a good system could be really, really beneficial because he was playing in a losing system in Phoenix.
Losingest.
The losingest. And not even like being unhappy about losing. They were happy about losing. Yeah. That's how we got the Devin Booker 70-point game.
I mean, speaking of losing, you guys didn't mention the loss of Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, so to that's Phoenix. What I said. Losing Trevor Ariza and Luka Bamute were really bad.
Right, right.
But they recovered a little bit. Just a little bit.
By gaining defensive specialist Carmelo Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah, and offensive specialist Bruno Caboclo.
Okay, I don't think the league's fair anymore. We talked about Golden State, but now Houston has Bruno. what can the league really do now?
Well, I'm still on the fence in terms of the talent drain, right? Because they balance the money, which I'm going to go into right now, but I'm still like. What did they really replace Trevor Ariza with?
Balancing the money mean paying Chris Paul $44 million in 2022? Let's get to the salaries.
Yeah, so just looking at it right for this year, Chris Paul is not making $42 million, thankfully. He's making $35 million. James Harden is making $30 million. And then now we drop down a bit to Clint Capella making $15 million. Brandon Knight making 14 as an artifact from the trade. Eric Gordon playing earning $13 million. PJ Tucker earning roughly $8 million if you round it up. Nene making $3 million. Marquise Chris making $3 million. Michael Carter Williams making 1.7. Bruno Caboclo making 1.6. And Gerald Green on a very friendly deal. This might be the tail end of the last year's, or is this a new contract?
This might be a re-signing for a year on a veteran's minimum.
Okay.
Is he a veteran? Sure.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. For 1.5. And then Joe Key. Sorry, that was my mistake. 1.3 on his rookie deal. And then we just have some minimums at the bottom.
Yeah, it's Gary Clark and Isaiah.
And then...
Hardenstein?
And then Carmelo Anthony's isn't listed here.
Yeah, but he also signed for a minimum because he's getting bought out by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So basically, what stands out According to Kevin, I think it's Chris Paul. He wants to talk about it.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that deal. I've talked about this many times in the pod before. So if you you're a back to the basket fan, you've already heard me complain about this several times. I don't want to hurt your ears, but I think it was a terrible contract. I know what they did, what they had to do.
He did it for the workers.
But a 34-year-old Chris Paul at $35, $35 million, it's a lot.
Yes. Also, getting rid of Ryan Anderson's contract was a win, and they were able to absorb Chris Paul's contract a little bit more because they got rid of Ryan Anderson. And, you know, getting Marquese Chris for 3 and getting Brandon Knight for 14, next year making 15, is not such a bad thing if you look at it. I mean, you traded... How much was Ryan Anderson at, 25 or 24 or something like that?
Something like that.
So you're still discounted that $6 million, which you can use towards a provision later on, right? Like, you can sign those veteran guys that you want to if this team doesn't win a championship this year, which I don't think is going to happen. So ultimately, looking at the future, does it look really that bad?
No.
I mean, apart from the Chris Paul thing, they're not really in the red for any of the other guys.
I actually think... in terms of, not in terms of production or anything, but just the sort of finessing that it took to get, and obviously the situation is different because OKC didn't want Carmelo anymore, but to be paying, Carmelo Anthony the veteran minimum and letting two other teams do all of the like stressing and legwork for you, that's like, Daryl Morey is on another level in terms of working sometimes.
That's why Philly tried to nab him.
Yeah.
They went dirty.
It's true.
They settled for Elton Brand.
Yeah, well, the player relationships need to be rekindled.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. NBA is a tampering league. Everyone's doing it. Magic, hello. So, Marquese Chris, I think, is a good value for the money.
Yeah, tell me what you think about it.
He's still only 20 years old.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, coming from a bad system, the guy can really thrive in under the tutelage of Chris Paul and James Harden. That's a good tutelage.
I like how you didn't mention Mike D'Antoni there.
A great coach. I don't know if Marquese Chris is an up-and-down guy.
21 years old, Marquese Chris.
Forward.
Former 8th overall draft pick. The one right before Jakob Poeltl.
He can't shoot. I think that's one of his biggest weaknesses, but... Then again, a lot of the league can't shoot, apparently. So I'm looking at Richard because he's got all the non-shooters on his team.
Yeah, I got the box full of jumpers. Just come over.
Oh, no, Markel found his.
Okay.
Markel lost it in his closet somewhere. He just picked it up. So I think this team is, again, not as bad as people might imagine them to be compared to last year. A lot of people have been saying that last year was their window to strike. They missed their opportunity, and now it's gone. Do you agree with that, Kevin?
I'm not going to say that it's gone. They have a very talented team, talented roster still, and they brought Golden State to 7 last year. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think that was the ceiling for this team? Like,
no,
do you think they missed
their
opportunity?
Generally, have the core of that team. They added a few pieces here and there. They retained Clint Capella. Which is absolutely
amazing. Yeah, I really did think they were going to lose him.
Right, and losing that would have been devastating to that roster, but to sign him to the very team-friendly deal that he's on right now that we failed to mention, he's only making $15 million a year.
All right.
He thought he was going to make more than 20.
Well, let's jump into the fans' questions, and then I have a question for you, or for you guys specifically, as to how this team is different from last year. But let's get to the fans first.
Yeah, and I'm interested in hearing this question now.
The first question is obviously who's the team's MVP, and the fans have spoken.
Is it Nene?
It's Harden, obviously, says none time account. None time account says Harden, obviously. Cosmic Raccoon Cometh says the MVP, of course, which is, again, James Harden. Far West Eros says obviously, but CP3 going to be co-MVP this year now that he is more at home. Also, shouts to PJ for being the heart.
Shoutouts to PJ Tucker.
Yeah, being the heart and the illegal screen.
ST012MY says Harden. Cat Marbles also says Harden. So Harden is the consensus. Also, you pepper in CP3 here and there.
Yeah, I mean, when you're coming off an MVP season, I would think...
you're also your team's MVP?
Yeah.
No, makes sense. The second question also makes sense. Who is expected to make the biggest improvement from last season?
Tell me.
None Time Account says Ennis. Nobody knew him last year, but by the end of this season, I expect him to be regarded as one of the league's best 3-and-D guys because Morey always finds diamonds in the rough. Someone who can guard KD and make an open three. Maybe Bruno is that guy. 2 years away from being 2 years away. Is not 2 years away anymore.
0 years away now, as tweeted by Daryl Morey. Another answer we have here. Cosmic Raccoon Comet says probably Capella still. Just based on him being the only young player who's likely to get a lot of minutes. And young players are the ones who mainly make significant improvements year over year. Thanks, Magic. Runner-up as Eric Gordon, though. Assuming we start him more and play the three-guard lineup of him, Harden and Paul more, because that lineup kills. And,
yeah, and Far West Arrow says, any of the new guys could fill this role. Ennis has the easiest path to minutes and opportunity to shine, given his relative obscure history. He should slot into Ariza's role without missing much of a step for us. Oh, that's very interesting. Morey collected cheap, distressed assets that were great buys 2 years ago or more, and is hoping one or more of them can turn it around in a new environment. We have great chemistry. As long as one of our guys does better than Rhino, Luke, and Bamude did for us, we should improve from last year, and it doesn't need to be Melo doing it. Chris, Michael Carter-Williams, even Bruno could step up and deliver on that promise.
Promises.
I'm so happy that teams are like counting on Bruno.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing that he's found himself in a situation where he might actually get playing time aside from development time.
ST012MI says, EGOD, does Melo count? Wishful for more. Joe Chi sightings. Yeah. Joe Chi sightings. Cat Marble says, Melo, other players may make a larger jump, but he will be the one that is the most noticed by media, etc.
Whoa. Cat Marble playing the system here. He knows what's up.
Just like Daryl Morey. So, when you reflect on these answers, I think the biggest thing that jumps out is the fact that the Rocket fans are looking for somebody to replace Ariza or Luke Mbamute.
Right.
They're hoping for it to be Bruno. They're hoping it for it to be Ennis or MC. I mean,
have you watched the preseason games?
No, I have not watched Rocket preseason games.
MCW's been showing out.
Okay, he always shows out, but
in
then
the first game, right?
Yes,
yeah, look, famously
also previously Rookie of the Year. So
yes,
maybe Daryl Morey has found the guy. Maybe Bruno's that guy. Maybe Tyler Ennis is the guy. Maybe it's like he said, who was the guy they brought over? Marquise Chris. So it could be any of those guys that steps up for you and gives you the 3-and-D that everybody wants, right? But is it good enough to fill Ariza's shoes? Is it good enough to fill Luke Mbamute, who was one of the best wing defenders in the entire league? So can you replicate that level of production?
Yeah.
Because they were championship. They were right up there with Golden State last year. I don't know if you remember the conversation. It was like either Houston or Golden State. And they proved that. They almost beat them. If they hadn't missed 27 shots in a row, it would have never happened. Thanks to Ariza, by the way, who they lost. So maybe the fans are happy in that context. Yeah, I forgot Corey was on that. Hey, Corey Brewer was on the Thunder, wasn't he?
Maybe.
Oh, right.
Okay, anyway, that doesn't matter. They had a bunch of like 3-and-D players. So what happens now? Is this team really... My big question was, is this team really going to be ahead of Boston and Toronto when it comes to challenging the Warriors? I don't think so, right?
I think the thing that gives...
They're going to challenge them first, right?
Like, you mean... No, I'm not talking about the Western Conference-wise. I'm talking about, like, is this team at that level still, at the Golden State level?
Yes.
They're not, right? They took a step down, in my opinion.
The thing is, the way they challenge...
I have a hot take after. But yeah, continue.
The way they challenge Golden State is in the fact that they make Golden State shoot at their pace also. Do you know what I mean? Like in terms of feel for the game, Golden State just dictates and everyone else buckles because they can't keep up. Houston, when they play them, at least last year, Chris Paul and James Harden facilitated it, their teams in such a way that they had to keep up. They kept pace with them. And now it's just a matter of, can Tyler Ennis help contribute to that? Like, can these random pieces that the Houston fans are like craving to develop turn into something more than just role players? Can they be role players with the like ability to step up?
See, thank you. That was my point. Yeah. It's like, do these players really step up and take that role? If that doesn't happen, you don't have championship aspirations.
Yeah, no, it's right. not.
Because Golden State will kill you on the wing. Yeah. Like, they will destroy you like they have in the past years. So I'm saying the Toronto wing depth and the Boston wing depth is so much better than the Houston wing depth because they have a big question mark. Can Tyler Ennis be... If you're expecting Tyler Ennis, no offense, to be that guy, I don't think you have that great of a lineup, really.
Yeah.
You're also still trying to figure out who be the... That might take time, that might work out, that might not. What was your hot take, by the way?
Oh, I actually think Melo's going to have a resurgence season. This season.
He's already apologizing for taking mid-range jumpers. I don't know if you saw that video.
Exactly. I mean, it's more like, exactly. It's more like, ha-ha, I took it, kind of.
My bad, I made it, at least.
You know? That's true. And he's happy to be on the banana boat thing, right? With
he's playing with his buddies.
Yeah.
He's playing with his former coach.
Yeah, he's like, happy to be doing it right this time, away from New York.
Yeah, he's actually posted in the corner, catch and shooting, from what I've seen in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So I think under this system, and as far as I know, D'Antoni's always been the guy to kind of unlock offensive potential of certain players. I think I think Melo has a resurgence here.
Yeah, that factor of having Carmelo keeps that
firepower. Did you see a couple plays where James Harden shot some threes, he missed, rebound, collected, back to Melo, he hit the three. And this happened a couple times already. I think Melo's got a great shot. He's one of the most elite shot makers the league has seen.
Well, his shot was the one that was like,
faltering in the playoffs with OKC, but I mean, when you're playing with Russell Westbrook, he puts the ball in your hands with a few seconds to go, and you're like immediately forced to shoot. Give Melo a little bit of time. Give him a couple ball screens to come off of. I think with this Houston offense, I think he thrives.
Okay.
One of the most important questions that we always ask, five questions, but the one I think is the major question for the Houston Rockets is, how long before Melo makes an appearance in the State Farm commercials?
Interesting.
With the tandem of Paul and Harden.
Cliff Paul and, what is it, John Harden?
John Harden, yes. They're alter egos.
Oh, but he needs a name.
He needs an alter ego.
Like,
mid-range Melo.
No, it should just be, he should stay as Carmelo. Like, oh, okay. Your insurance company.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
like,
that's true. Carmelo. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't know why it's so slow. That should have been like instantly.
Just change his last name.
So, Richard wins this one.
Okay.
So the next question is, who do you expect? What is the team missing the most?
Wing depth.
I guess that was what we were discussing.
Our answer. What do they say?
We jumped the gun a little bit.
A ring. Okay. Is what none time accounts as a ring. In all seriousness, last season, my best case was we take a few games from the Dubs in the Western Conference Finals. Going to this season, I honestly believe we can, not will, beat them. Fact is, we were up 3-2, and I believe if Chris stays healthy, we win the title. I really think we could win it all at the start of last season. This season, I do.
So he agrees. With my question was like, can they beat them? And this fan thinks they can.
Yeah.
Another answer was, young players with a strong likelihood of improving in the future. We need to replenish that cupboard here for our long-term prospects. I was excited about Melton. But Maury is scouring the island of lost toys to find some potential gems.
Shout out to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hopefully some of them will pan out. Some of them being the key word, like we have discussed before. Another fan, Far West Eros, says playoff success. That's a legitimate answer.
Trophy.
Trophy from ST012MI. Cat Marble says, wow, at least one more 3-and-D wing. Hopefully we can trade Knight for somewhere later in the season. So want Knight gone, even though he might be your legitimate backup point guard.
I mean, he has a $15 million deal for 2 years. So it was kind of replacing a longer deal of Ryan Anderson's 3 years.
Yeah, like more money. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't blame.
So you want to flip him again for something?
Yeah, why not?
Because MCW is your backup guard.
Yeah,
for sure,
he is.
Right?
He was a former rookie of the year.
Like I said before. All right, so like, I guess we can all agree that these answers are legitimate. They are missing a ring.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's an obvious answer. Playoff success could be key leading up to a ring. Wing depth, like we talked about, again.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Go ahead.
If Chris Paul doesn't get injured, and let's assume...
No, Chris Paul...
Iguodala didn't get injured either. If they were healthy that series, you think they would have won?
Oh, we're going back to what ifs?
I'm not doing what ifs. I hate doing what ifs.
You don't want to take a jab at who would have won that series?
Nah. Because then, I mean, if you go down what ifs, you're going to be like, if Draymond didn't get suspended, would the Warriors would have won that series? If
there's a lot of what
if Iguodala didn't hurt his back,
yeah,
he could have guarded LeBron.
I'll just play this one quickly and say...
they would have beat the Warriors?
No. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards no, but I'll say maybe yes. I think Chris Paul was playing at an elite level, and they were like right on. See, my what if is, if they made one of those threes, they would have won that game. You miss 27 threes, you lose. You deserve to lose.
And I also...
When you lose, when you miss 27 straight of anything.
Yes, of anything.
Yeah.
Not just basketball, anything.
But also...
You miss 27 straight at the casino, you lost 27 straight. Just
you're going home broke.
Yeah. But also, this is one of my things in like... debunking things that people always do but they should stop doing. Chris Paul is injured every year. Like, betting on, oh, if he's healthy is not a thing that exists. It is a myth. Don't do it.
I agree. That's the greatest point you've made this episode. I fully agree.
2022, he's making 40,
That backs into Kevin's hate for Chris Paul's contract.
Oh my god, yes, you're right.
He just fed him some more.
44 million a year for someone who will be injured that year.
He'll be 38.
Who will be injured game 6 of a key playoff, whatever.
Yeah, this is...
That's what you're paying for.
This is 44 million?
This is the reality.
Is he still going to be making the playoffs? I don't know.
This is the reality of his play style.
You'll trade him for like Brandon Knight at 15 million or something.
Yeah, or like Giannis's brother or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Some gem, I don't know.
Okay.
Years away.
Yeah. So that was... what are they most excited for?
What are they most excited for?
Cat Marvel says team chemistry. Since Dwight left... Wow, is this guy 2 years ago? Since Dwight left, you can see everyone play as a team. And as a fan watching the games, it's more enjoyable when that's the case. This guy is still salty about Dwight. Let it go.
He was watching the Cowboys.
ST012MI says dethroning Golden State... Oh, that's a very...
Yeah, that's exciting. No, you know what? Dream big.
Wow.
Dream big, sure.
Far West Eros says, surprising the shit out of everyone when we take out the Dubs. Just hope we don't blow it in the finals against the Celtics again.
Alright, I'm gonna have to
down. you've been warned. Far West.
Cosmic Raccoon Cometh says, Capella developing enough to where Draymond and the Warriors aren't able to neutralize him as an offensive finishing threat as easily. Hopefully him getting into the all-star argument. That's a bit of a reach with the all-star, but...
Yeah, but the first clause of that sentence is sound, I would say.
Also, I think that's the end of the answers.
Okay.
Yes. No one-time account or not one, non-time account didn't answer this question. He just skipped to the fifth one. It's okay.
That's fine, but I think that's interesting because they're excited, you know, for a team that's sort of, that we're saying is sort of mortgaging their future for win now aspirations. It's kind of nice to see them, like, excited to see Michael Carter Williams, like, develop, you know, even though.
Develop.
Develop?
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. It's like, why would you want him to develop? But they're still excited for it.
You just want him to play the role that you brought him on for. Like, I don't think Michael Carter Williams is going to develop into a 3-point threat anytime soon.
I mean, this is what they're saying.
No, so. I think what they're saying is, like, they're hungry for blood. Like, they want Golden State out.
Yeah, I guess missing 27.
Yeah, that's gotta hurt.
We'll do that to you.
It's gotta sting so much, and it still does. I mean, apparently Dwight thing's still stinging them, so. But, you know, they play as a team, which is, like, a key aspect in in championship aspirations. Like, if you have great players and they don't gel well together, Minnesota, it just never... It's so underrated, that aspect of a championship blueprint. Yeah. The San Antonio Spurs did it. The Pistons did it. Shout out 11 Mavericks did it. I think it was much more about just bringing the right pieces together. And I think Morey does a great job of that.
Yeah.
More than anybody else, I think, in my opinion, anyway. Mm-hmm. So let's see if these guys work out. How many wins do you think they're going to have in the regular season?
It's a good question. We asked the fans, and I just have to say again, we appreciate all of you fans' answers, all of you guys taking the time to answer this. Nuntime account says high 50s, I think, as we'll get more serious about giving Chris and James more nights off, so there's less injury and fatigue issues in the playoffs.
You think that's going to help Chris Paul? I don't think so. Rest has never been an issue. The guy's just injured all the time. Sorry to break your bubble there. Resting Chris Paul for 30 games ain't going to help you in the playoffs. So what is Cosmic Raccoon Cometh? Says 65, man. I think this team is going to be great.
Okay.
It's a very simple answer, but yeah, I'm about it.
Yeah, you seem fond of it.
This team's going to be great.
Far West Arrows, 69 wins. Don't at me. That's fine.
All
right. This team will be better than last year's. We just need a little injury luck. No. No. Injuries will... No, I hope they don't, but...
I've saved this comment.
Okay. All right. STO1 to me says 60. We will win on the road against Golden State.
Oh, God.
Okay. And then Cat Marble says 63. All right.
Short and sweet.
I think Daryl, from the top down, from Daryl Morey all the way through to these fans... It's stuck in their head that we got to beat Golden State. And that's exactly what they're striving for. So,
yeah, though that was our... I think that was the main discussion for this Rockets section was, are they good enough to be in that conversation? I personally don't think so. They were right there last year. This year they took a step back, or other teams got a little bit better, a.k.a. the Raptors and the Celtics. I think those three teams I'm putting in the upper echelon, and then Rockets are just a step below. Because of the injury concerns, because of the wing depth concerns. I mean, no offense, you guys are great. It's a great team. It's fun to watch.
They're going to be so fun to watch, I was just about to say.
So when it comes to the wins, I think I would go with 62-63. Kevin, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go with... I got my fingers crossed. Hopefully the team doesn't get injured. You know, with a little bit of injury luck on their side, I think they can win 65.
Okay, that's high, but mine was high too.
Yeah.
So you're going under on 65 and 63?
Yeah, I'm going lower. I don't know why 56 is in my head, but I feel like this year teams will be going at them. Just, do you know what I mean? Like they're gonna start and get a taste of like young, hungry teams trying to steal wins from them.
Yeah. So you're going 56?
Huh? Yeah, just because I think they did lose a lot, losing Luke Mbamute, and they...
Yeah, I agree.
Like...
56.
It's weird. It's not going to hold up without that until they figure it out.
But don't at you, though, right? 56, but don't at me.
No, I...
at you. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
No, added him. I don't even know how internet works, really. Yeah, so this wraps up our last season preview, boys. It's been a long, grueling summer for us,
yeah,
without basketball, but preseason's back and we cannot be more excited. No, we're not excited for preseason. Let's get this over with and get the regular season on the road.
But games in China and Japan next year.
I wanted to be on that Mavs plane to China. That looked spectacular.
Oh,
I don't know if you've seen it. No. It's apparently it cost them $50,000 an hour to rent.
Oh my god.
Hey, Mark Cuban's got that though.
Yeah,
Mark Cuban's not making the best moves right now. Okay, that's another show.
But it's all right.
Day. All right.
You know what? Just a little teaser, a little heads up to our fans. We got a pretty special episode coming up next for you guys. Special guest coming on the pod. We're not going to tell you who, but stay tuned.
All right. So I'm just going to close it.
Leaving them suspense.
Yeah, I'm going to close this up for us. So that's it for this week's episode of Back to the Basket podcast. Feel free to interact with us wherever you find us on social media. Feel free to find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, such as the Google Store, the Apple Store, and Spotify. And remember, we may have our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans.
Bye.
Bye.